was a feeling had just been set free. You see my chains, they were broken, and I felt born again.
Song on that radio for me. And I'm so thankful he did, Brother Fred. Amen. It's made a difference in my life ever since.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Come on, Brother Fred. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a big old hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I've enjoyed tonight already. Hallelujah. I felt the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
Woo.
He ain't done yet.
Woo. But I tell you what, it ain't over.
Amen.
Come on, folks. How many come out to worship him tonight and to be fed the word? Amen. Hallelujah. You know what? I believe, glory to God, he's already moving, but he's getting us ready. Brother J.R., something's about to break loose tonight. I believe somebody's going to get a miracle tonight. Somebody's going to get a breakthrough tonight. Somebody's going to get a touch from God tonight. Amen. Something's going to take place. Somebody need to worship him tonight, folks. Hallelujah. Some of you have been praying hard and long for some things. You've been praying for your loved ones. Glory to God, you've been praying for them lost loved ones to come to the Lord. Tonight can be the night. Amen. Just keep pressing in. I tell you what, I want you to pull it out of the preacher tonight. I know he came for 4 hours. But pull that word out of him tonight.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on, folks.
Amen.
Worship the Lord. Let me tell you, it's a lot easier to preach, brother, when people are receiving. Come on now, when people are receiving, it's a whole lot easier to preach. Amen. It's hard to preach when it's like you're preaching to a wall. Come on now. It's hard to preach, amen, when you say, glory to God, am I in church or at the funeral home? Come on now. Huh? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
My.
Yes, Jesus.
I'm fixing to turn it over to the brother, but I just want to enjoy his presence a moment.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. My. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's anointing in here, guys.
There is. Amen.
Come on. Somebody praise him. Brother Roberts, amen. Are you ready to come and bring the word?
Amen.
Give the Lord a big old hand clap of praise as the brother comes forth.
I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad to be in the house of God tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Everybody stand up.
Yes.
I want you to do something for me. I want you to raise your hands and just say the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Keep on saying his name. Exalt him for a few minutes. Look, y'all want me to preach good? Y'all got to worship good. Because see, if you don't worship good, the anointing will not flow and will not take this place over. So as you're worshiping, I'm going to pray over myself. Father, we come to you today, Jesus. Father, we ask you to anoint me and my family, Father, not just for today, but for days to come, Father. Father, we ask you to pour your wisdom and your knowledge into us, Father. Father, as we are men and women of God, Father, we're working for you. Father, I ask you if there's anything not in this house of you. Father, I ask you to cast it out of this house right now. You leave, you foul spirits of dissension, your foul spirits of depression, you foul spirits of anxiety. I command you to go in Jesus' name right now. You leave this place, Father. Father, as we worship you and we keep our hands raised, Father, we ask you to just fill this house right now, Father, with your Shekinah glory, Father. Father, we just ask you, we just thank you for who you are, Father. Father, if you're Alpha and Omega, Father. Father, you're for the beginning and the end, Father. Father, you're the great I am, Father. Father, you're the great counselor, Father. Father, you're my all in all, Father. And if nobody knows you today, Jesus, I ask that you let this message, Father, just convict their heart, Father. It's not me that does the convicting, Father, but it's the Holy Spirit, Father. For the conviction draws men and women unto you, Father. And Father, we just thank you for who you are, O Jesus. Father, you're Alpha and Omega. Father, you're the great I am. Oh, Jesus, we just worship you. Just keep on worshiping just for a few more minutes. I'm waiting for our faith in the Holy Spirit. I have a message prepared. But I feel God shifting the atmosphere right now. There's a new message just coming down.
In the name of Jesus, glorify your
altar. I hear God tell me to tell you,
Lord of Lords,
do not forsake the altar.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
For the altar is more than just to ask for something. So if you want something from God today, we're going to do something a little different. I won't get into some word, but I challenge you, if you need a miracle from God today, come and worship just a few minutes at this altar right now. Come on and raise your hands at this altar and watch what God will do without me even laying hands on you today. Don't be shy. I don't know nobody but one person up in here. Don't be shy. Come on and raise your hands at this altar. The anointing is conducive for miracles right in here right now. So come on up and just worship and throw your hands up right at this altar. Come on, honey. Show them how to do it. See, we forget that the altar is not just for prayer. It's not just to ask God for something, but it is also to worship him and to exalt him. But you see, once you understand that, once you exalt God, see, I can move men and creatures, but prayer and worship moves the gates and the angels in heaven. Y'all think I'm like this all the time? I really am.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Should be in a car when the bears are going bad. Oh, Jesus, help us get there, God.
Oh, Jesus.
Anybody else want to come and worship with me for a few minutes? Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm going to calm down just so we understand. A lot of us, we only come to the altar when we need something. When we need something. We only thank him when he does something for us. But realize what happens when you start to thank him and you start to use these altars as a worshiping tool and worship him and thank him for who he is and what he does for you. Let me tell you, did you get up this morning? Did you breathe this morning? Did you get here today? That is a reason to worship the God Almighty. See, because there's a word in the Greek language called urok. That is the breath. The urok is the breath of God. When that breath is inside of you, God breathed his life inside of you. And if you woke up this morning, you're not just breathing on your own accord, but you're breathing the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you. See, God is going to start doing something. I got some scriptures that are coming. I promise you, I will give you some meat. But I want you to understand that God told me this church needs to understand what real worship is all about. Yeah, today. Thank you, Jesus, you got me here. Thank you, Jesus, you gave me a job. It might not be the best, but thank you, Jesus, you are my provider. Once you start to realize who you are as a Christian, when you start to realize who you are, you understand that your daddy is the great I am. And when you understand that he is the great I am, you realize that I am his child. This is my daughter. She's my stepdaughter.
Yes.
She don't have my natural presence and my natural features.
Yes.
But this one right here is my flesh and blood.
Yes.
So once you got adopted in the child of God, you got all the inheritance of Jesus. You inherited the kingdom. When that kingdom comes, great power and great responsibility, not to put star wars by any means. But I'm telling you, you want something, you want to go to a next level today? Oh God, I see that. God said today, I am going to send a fresh anointing to you. All you have to do is make a step of faith and come up to this altar. Come up and put your hands up and thank him for who he is. And I don't know what time y'all plan on getting out of here, but I came 3.5 hours to have a revival. I came 3.5 hours on 2 wheelbarrows that are about to bust. So I came and I got a hotel, so I don't got it. Nowhere but down 10 minutes down the street.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Father, just thank you for who you are.
We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your life. Lord, without you, not
Father, we just thank you for who you are.
You sacrifice yourself, Lord God.
Father, you're Alpha and Omega.
Yes,
Father, you're the beginning and the end.
Father,
you're Jehovah Jireh. You're Jehovah Rock of Father. Father, you're Jehovah Nisi, Father. Father, you're our all in all. And we start to realize who we are as your child, Father. You said all we have to have, Father, is faith of a mustard seed. And when we start having that faith, Father, we start to move mountains. But let me tell you something. Why I asked you to make a step up here is because if you don't put action behind your faith is dead. So if you want God to do something and you never fall on your knees, if you want God to do something and you never thank him for what he has already done, you will not put your faith in action.
Amen.
Try to be an evangelist and talk to people that you don't even know, trying to get them invited to a church. It's not easy. Walking to a church one Sunday morning when God shows you a picture of a pastor. It's like God has sent me for your church to give you a message. But you've never been there before. You don't know nobody there. But God sent you. Sometimes, guess what? The pastor is in tune with the Holy Spirit and everything flows. But there's other times I had to sit on that bench and say, God, why did you send me here? He said, I sent you as a test. I had to test your faith, but I also had to test the pastor where he's at in his faith.
Amen.
So if you never put action behind your faith, y'all don't mind, I'm preaching from the heart today. I had some scriptures and everything, but God just, as your pastor got up here and it conduced the atmosphere, God just took over. God wants you to understand that if you don't put faith behind action, if you go to the pastor, why ain't this church growing, pastor? But you never do no community outreaches. You never invite nobody. Why are you asking that question?
Amen.
Pastor, can we have a dinner? But you never bring no food. You want the church to pay for everything. I mean, y'all don't mind. Let's just have a moment of silence for a second. Just reverence him. I don't know about you, but there is a fresh fire and a fresh anointing in this place. There's a reason why I put that on the flyer. And I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. But if y'all don't mind, can I tell you about our ministry for a few seconds?
Come on.
Okay. I don't know if y'all notice what this is or what the kids have on their shirt. I Thirst Ministries. Why that name? Well, I'm not saying this to brag, but I was praying and fasting. And I said, God, I said, we go to a church, Voice of Life Ministries, our home church, our pastor is Pastor Oliver, so he's our anointing covering. But I told Pastor, I said, Pastor, God wants us to have our own ministry. He goes, go for it, buddy. I said, but I don't want it to be called Evangelist Robert Roberts Ministries because it's not mine, it's God's. And that's the same way his started out. Well, I said, God, what do you want me to call it? And he said, just pray about it. And I was studying the seven sayings of Jesus Christ. And the I thirst just stuck out to me when he says, I thirst. I said, God, why that one? It's so simple, so basic. But he says, you don't understand. I said, well, God, I'll pray and fast over because I need to understand if you want me to name it that. And guess what? Here's what he told me. He says, when I died, and I said, for God has forsaken me. The Holy Spirit and his God totally departed from him because he had to die a perfect, complete sinner. That's kind of an oxymoron or something. But a perfect, complete sinner. He had to die without God so he could go to hell to get the keys. I said, well, God, what does that mean? He goes, when I said I thirst, I wasn't thirsty for the water. I wasn't thirsty for the vinegar they tried to give me. I wasn't thirsty for the wine. But what I was thirsty for was a lost world, a world that did not believe in me, a world that is still in turmoil more than it was on the day of Pentecost, the day that God put his holy fire in the upper room. But see, we have lost that thirst for other people. We have lost that thirst for this broken world. Too many churches just stay inside the walls.
Amen. Come on, man.
We get scared and we get tired and we don't want to go out because we're scared. Let me tell you something. If God is behind it, you are going to be saved.
Amen.
But guess what? If you do get killed or get hurt, guess what? You're going to heaven. If you're right with God. My other day I was driving. Yesterday, and I heard two big trumpets sound. And man, I stopped. And I was in the middle of a car, and the radio was on, because I like to turn off the radio and just concentrate on him. And I heard two big trumpets sound. I was like, I'm looking for cars to start wrecking. And God said, I just want to let you know it's going to be that quick. I said, woo! God, you mean to tell them that? He goes, yeah, you better tell that church that. It's going to be that quick. So if I witness to somebody and I tell them, you're thirsty, like the woman at the living with the water, and he gave her living water, for she could be forever, ever changed.
Yes, amen. Amen.
That's what our thirsting ministry is about. Yeah, we preach in churches. We do that. That's part of it. Because in Ephesians it says, the fivefold ministry is to edify the body and perfect the saints. That is part of our call of ministry. From the teacher all the way to the prophet, all the way to the apostle, and the pastor. That's our call to ministry, to help each other out, to help each other grow. Because see, God may give me a message he's not gave your pastor. He may give me a new revelation that he's not gave your pastor. He may ignite something in me that's going to ignite something in you. It'll go to him and say, hey, pastor, I have this idea for this ministry. Will you back me? Will you help me? Nothing else. Will you just pray for me? My pastor, my church does not financially support me. Some of them, they'll do stuff for me every now and then, but they are not my financial support. All of it comes from the provider of God.
Yes, amen.
I have a current job of my own, and that's how we pay all our bills. But God provides. He provided a bonus for us to come down this week.
Yes.
If it wasn't for that bonus, I wouldn't have made it. But what I want you to understand is you have to be thirsty for a broken world.
Yes, you do.
If somebody different walks in here, and I'm not saying that because Xavier just walked in here. By the way, this is Pastor Xavier, my daughter's boyfriend. Y'all give him a hand. He's a word-named pastor. I'm going to try to get it right. Jehovah Shalom International Kingdom Ministries, which is my spiritual mother. She's my covering, so she's an ordained apostle. Great woman of God. Great woman of God.
The greatest.
But I just want you to understand is you have to be thirsty for the broken world.
Yes. Amen.
You know, if a homeless beggar walked in right now, what would we do? Mm. What would you do as a church?
Oh.
Are you thirsty enough to go to them even though they stink and they smell? Even though they may have foul language inside the church? Are you thirsty enough to walk up to them and hug them and give them a big hug? I would say in your nice suits, but you know, y'all are laid back, so I don't have to worry about that. But in your nice polo shirt that you got on, are you big enough? and God said to go hug them and love them and embrace them.
Amen.
Yes.
Are you that thirsty for the broken world? I'm not saying our walk with God won't be a struggle. But let me tell you something about this. If you help others, if you help others in love, your stuff that you're going through ain't nothing. You see, when I'm helping others, that's the most, when I feel most of God. I help another ministry called Special Ops in Birmingham, Alabama. I don't know how many of y'all ever heard 93.7 WGJC. I've been on there twice now. One officially in the studio and then one on the radio when I called in for about something that happened in our hometown. But they go out every Monday and go visit and walk the streets for homeless, for prostitutes and stuff. And one of the people there says, well, if you have your own ministry, why do you do this? I said, because I want to serve. Yes, I'm the leader of this ministry. But I want to go serve in another ministry. Because that way I can still be a servant. And pastor, sometimes it's just good not to be the leader. I don't give out no questions. I can go worship. I can go pray. I can go talk to people. And when you really see what's going on in your streets out there, when you really see how hungry these people are, they don't even know you, that you can pray for. I challenge each and every one of you. How many times do you go to Walmart and you see somebody that's crying, but you walk by them? Everybody's done it. I used to do it. Because you don't want to be bothered. You don't want to be inconvenienced. But would Jesus have done that? Or would he have stopped and said, hey, I know you're hurting. Can I at least pray for you? Yeah. Or you see a homeless person on the side of the road. Now, I'm being very careful because be led by the Spirit when there's somebody out there in the streets. Now, hear that. Amen. Because if you're not led by the Spirit, it can be very dangerous.
Amen.
And like I said earlier, but if you're right with God and you get hurt, God's going to take care of you. But are you thirsty for a broken world?
Yes.
I challenge you. God's telling me right now that you don't have many outreaches at this church right now. God just spoke that to me. And look, I'm not asking nobody. When we get to prayer requests and altar call, I have not asked pastor nothing about nobody. I'm not even talking to him but one time and I was for him to pray over us because of the poking call. And I do that on purpose because if God speaks something into me or in my wife or my daughter about you, I want you to know it's directly from God. Because I can already tell you, there's already one depressed person in this building. There's already been at least one. God's already revealed it. He's not revealed exactly who, but he will in a few minutes. He always does if you don't come up when I call him. Because I wouldn't be here if somebody wasn't depressed or had anxiety or thoughts of suicide. Because that's what our ministry deals with is a lot. Let me give you some scripture. Because I just don't feel right unless we get some meat, right? Let's go here. Turn to Psalms 92. Psalms 92, verse 8 through 10. So that's a little bit of our ministry. Is anybody in a hurry tonight?
No.
Okay, so we can just take our time, right? I mean, especially the late ones. Y'all get to understand, that's my daughter's boyfriend, so I get to aggravate him the whole service. Did you bring your keyboard?
Uh-huh. It's in the trunk.
Go get it, because you and her are going to sing, uh-huh. God, the God song I like, you and her are going to sing it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
92, verse 8. Say amen when you get there. If you'd like to wait for the standing of word, God's word, you can, or you can sit down, either one. But thou, Lord, art the Most High forever. For thine enemies, O Lord, thine enemies shall perish, all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. I'm reading out the King James Version, by the way, which is my favorite book, my favorite Bible. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. Does not mean the white unicorn with a horn. It means an old perished animal that is no longer here, they believe. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. My eyes shall see my desires of my enemies, and my ears shall hear my desires of the wicked that rise up against me. We're going to read a couple more verses. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, but he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Let me tell you something. Because you got a little older, because you got a little age on you, don't mean you can't worship God. Amen. Don't mean you can't go out there and witness. Amen. There's people, sister and brothers, that y'all can talk to that I cannot talk to yet because I don't got that wisdom yet. But there's people that she can talk to that I can't talk to. Couple more verses. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To sue the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and therefore no unrighteous in him.
Amen.
Let me tell you this. When you start to really believe who you are in God, there's no demon in hell that can stop you. Can I say that? Can I say that, Pastor? There's no demon in hell that can stop you. They're going to fight you. They're going to come after you. But when you realize, here's my favorite part, my favorite word, the authority that you have in Christ as a man and a woman of God, there's nothing can stop you.
Yes, amen.
The devil will start to flee.
Amen.
We have a few little messages in here since I only have one day today. But when you put that whole armor of God on in Ephesians, when you put that whole armor on, brother, don't take it off.
Amen.
There's a message out preached that says, Christian, where did you put your armor at? When you realize who you are in the Lord, it says he will exalt you. I don't have to worry about me being exalted. There's some jokes we have, like when Xavius introduces me, I have him go, an evangelist! Just for the fun of it. Because it makes my wife embarrassed. Because she always, when she introduces me, she gives you a love speech. And then she tries to make me cry before I preach, and it's hard. But if you need fresh oil today, see, some of y'all have already received that fresh oil. Y'all saw what I was talking about when you come up here. Some of y'all didn't. Y'all chose that. But you had a chance for God to anoint you and get you ready for this message. See, God wants you to go to the next level in the anointing. The next level in your life. You're tired of that dead-end job that you have? What are you doing for God? You're tired of your bank account being broke? What are you doing for God? I'm telling you, when you plant the seeds in the ministry, when you plant the seeds in fertile ground, it's going to grow. I dare you to try to outgive God.
Amen.
And I'm not preaching because you're going to give up and take an offering. Y'all already done that. I came at no request because I know God wants to do something mighty in this church, in that community, with this church.
Amen.
There's a breakthrough that this church is going to be a part of in that community. Yes, I'm prophesying now. You can write it down, which is not part of my ministry, so that's the gift that God has revealed again. He does sometimes. Write it down. This is a vital part of this community. If you're sitting in here and you're not trying to figure out ministry, now some ministries you make are going to fail flat on their face. Guess what you do? You pick up, you reorganize, and you try it again.
Yes.
That don't work, you try a different ministry. You got to find what works in your community. Like some evangelists, they get bookings like this. Mine don't work that way. Yeah, like the one back there. But mine, I have to go visit people and connect. Because God's got a different anointing on my life than he has on his life. I just want you to understand that when you're thirsty and you seek God. See, the Bible says if you seek him and you knock, he has the answer. He has the answer. And the Bible says that those that diligently seek him in private, he will reward openly. You can find it in your Bible. I don't think any scripture. You better know it. If not, you can look for it. That's what Google's for. God said, if you diligently seek him, how many of you today are diligently seeking God or you're whining about it? I'm only here one day, Pastor. You have to deal with the stuff afterwards, right? So I can step on toes all I want. I get invited back about, what, 1%?
That ain't nothing new to me. God wants you to understand, if you're not diligently seeking Him, and if your life does not line up with what His plan is for your life, your plans and what you're doing is not going to succeed. I can show you, can you look at Proverbs, the one that says, establish your plans in Him. I think it's Proverbs 16:3 or something like that, or 13:6, I can't remember which one. But in Proverbs, he's going to get the actual scripture. It says that if you establish your plans or your ways in God, He will make them succeed.
Yeah.
Can I give you all a little testimony for a second? I have a bachelor's degree in psychology. I'm not no dumb person. Okay. You got it? Read it for me.
Commit your activities to the Lord and your plans will be...
No. Read that with some authority.
Here, read. Commit your activities to the Lord and your plans will be achieved. The Lord has prepared everything for His purpose, even the wicked for the day of disaster. Everyone with a proud heart is detestable to the Lord. Be assured He will not go unpunished. Wickedness is atoned for by loyalty and faithfulness, and one turns from evil by the fear of the Lord.
So when you establish your plans, not just your ministry plans, but your everyday life plans.
Yes, amen.
When you get up in the morning, anytime you go to bed, you say, God, this job, I know, for instance, I work at Cintas, I know Cintas is my job, but You are my provider. I go to work for You. Put somebody in front of me who I can witness to, who I can talk to You about Jesus. Jesus, everything I do for You. I do to glorify You. I do to uplift You. And when you start doing that, things will start to come together and things will start to change supernaturally. And you'll be like, God, how did that happen? Let me give you a little testimony. So I graduated from Capella University back in March. I said, God, I know You have a call on my life as a marriage and family therapist, a Christian marriage and family therapist, but I want to have a secular part and a Christian part of the degree where I can mix them together. And so I went to that school. My wife said, hey, since you graduated from Capella, just go to your doctor's degree, maybe at Liberty. I said, okay, we'll try that. So I applied to Capella. They turned me down. My alma mater turned me down. I had a 3.569, which is a B plus, as my grade point average. Well, when I wrote my dissertation to get into master school, you basically have to sell yourself. I don't know how many of y'all have been to master school, but you have to sell yourself to the school. It's not like an undergrad where you go, here's your ACTs, here's your transcript, okay, you have enough to get in, you're in. You have to sell yourself. You have to say, okay, this is the reason why I went in. This is what I plan to do with this degree. Even though you're paying them a lot of money, my paper had a lot about Jesus and my plan that I established in our ministry to be a marriage and family therapist. For one day, we're going to have, on the beach, we're going to have a hotel that does intensive marriage therapy for the weekend or for a week. That is one of my plans that we're going to eventually do as a ministry. But I had to have that degree before I could even think about that plan. I said, well, God, I don't know what to do. I said, well, I'm going to apply to Liberty. So I applied to Liberty and didn't hear from them. We'll hear from you. They said that they would call us back in 24 to 72 hours. It was a week. And I said, okay, God, what am I going to do? You told me this is your plan. If it's supposed to be your plan, it's supposed to work, right? And then what I just preached, that if I put my plans in You, they should exceed, right? So I'm driving down the road on the way home, and I'm talking to God with the radio off again. I say, God, if this is really what You want me to do, if You really want to put my family through all the craziness of being in a grad school and still being a dad and working, let me know. And then that scripture that he just read was on the church. I said, okay, God. I go a little bit further down, and another scripture is very similar that was on the other church. I said, okay, God, I'm going to call him. I said, I'm going to call him because I'm going to test You now, God, because obviously You're giving me a sign. So I call him, and he goes, well, I see you applied, and we haven't called you back. And I said, well, I did my dissertation thing. Well, we need you to rewrite it. Okay. I said, why? He goes, well, you didn't have enough words, so rewrite it, submit it, and you won't be in this semester, but you may get in next semester. They didn't turn you down. You just didn't do it right. Their word count was per letter instead of per word, and that makes a difference when you're doing stuff like that. So when that happened, I redone it, added two more paragraphs, which made it about 1,500 words instead of the 700 it's supposed to be.
And so it got submitted, and it was all about the plan, about God and life, and about us being a marriage and family. We have been through 13 years of pure ups and downs in our marriage, to the point where we was almost in a divorce, that her family has just destroyed her mindset. But God has recreated her mindset. God has done things in her life and has continued doing things in our marriage because we have established 7 basic principles. And one day once the book gets read, I get to tell you about them halfway through the book. But I want you to understand this. So when I called Liberty University, I said, okay, this is again, 3 days later, it's supposed to be 24 hours, I'm supposed to hear from them. And I said, well, the counseling department answered. I said, okay. I'm thinking, already, and this is where our flesh gets us in trouble. Doubt sets in really quick. When he says, well, I've heard from the counseling department, and he stopped and he paused. My first thought, and God got me, was okay, I'm ready for a doubt now. And he said, well, we heard from him, and he just stopped. And I said, why did you pause? And then he says, hold on. And I know what he didn't do. He didn't read what they said. And he says, oh, by the way, you got in. I said, what? He said, you got in. I said, well, glory to God. I think he thought he had a church service on the phone there for a few seconds. But I got in. I wasn't supposed to get in. Because you're supposed to have some other prerequisites. But because I had a degree in psychology, that got me past the other prerequisites because I had a specific degree. God made a way because I established these plans for Him. Not for me to get rich, not for me to be some kind of guru speaker, but because I established the plans to exalt Jesus Christ, to exalt my Lord and my Savior, to help others who are in need, to help put marriages back together where the devil has drove a wedge in it. See, when the devil can steal one, all he has to do is steal one thing, Pastor Rube. All he has to do is steal one thing, brother. One thing from you, and he can get in. I'll tell you what it is. You're going to understand. If he steals your faith, he's got in. Let me give you a few verses about that real quick, and we're done. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all enjoying this?
Yes. Amen.
See, the more y'all say amen and shout and back at me, the quicker we get done.
Amen.
Amen. That's what Pastor Kidd likes to say.
Amen.
Okay, so let me talk about your faith for a second. So that is one of the weapons that we have in our spiritual armor, correct?
Yeah.
It is technically the first weapon. Some people like to say it's the head of salvation, but you can't have the helmet of salvation without faith. Yeah. So the first weapon that you gain as a Christian is faith. When you make that step to the altar or on your knees and say, Jesus, I believe that you're my one true God. I believe that you're my Savior. Will you please forgive me for my sins and come into my life? That is when you activate your first step in faith in a mustard seed. It's not when you pray for your first trial or your tribulation as a Christian. That's that day. Faith enjoined, what it does is it ensures access to the throne. See, when Jesus put himself on the cross, he put his faith in his God. When we came and we knelt at the altar, and we start doing ministries, and we start doing things that are different than other churches. We put our faith in Jesus that he's going to establish them in our ways.
Yes, amen.
I know y'all think I'm long-winded, but I am. I watched your pastor preach 75 minutes the other day, so I'm okay. A fundamental duty. Your faith is a fundamental duty.
Yes, amen.
Let me give you the scripture about as sure as access. In 2 Chronicles 20:20, and they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And those that went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord thy God, so ye will be established. There's that word established again. Established. Believe his prophets, so they shall prosper. How many of y'all know the story of Jehoshaphat? What if somebody was attacking you and God said, no, put your weapons down, put your sword down, put your gun down. Go get your best singers and go send them out and sing in front of them.
Yes,
we would think they was crazy.
Yes, sir.
If somebody said, hey, don't worry about that fight in the desert storm. Don't take your weapons. Just send your praisers out.
Amen.
Man, we're looking right. We're crazy.
Amen.
I'm pretty sure Joseph Moses said, you mean do what, God? But he did. Yeah. And because of that, he didn't just cause the armies to defeat each other, but he got the rewards of those spoils of that army.
Yeah.
Because he put his faith in what God told him to do. Mm-hmm. When you have a ministry that is in your heart, please put it in action. Do not think you're too old or too young. I'm going to give you this advice, and this is advice for me. Go to your pastor about that ministry. Let him lead and guide you. He is your anointing. He is your covering. He may tell you not now and pray about it. He may tell you to fast over it, but listen to what he has to say. That is very vital in your ministry. Because he's the one that's going to cover you in prayer and in fasting behind the scenes that you don't see. A fundamental duty. Our faith is a fundamental duty as a Christian. When I pray for you tonight, I expect whatever I pray for to happen. No doubt in my mind, it will happen. It may not happen right then. It may be a miracle that happens right then. But I expect it to happen. See, I come with an expectancy when I go to a revival. When I step into Walmart to pray for somebody, I expect whatever I pray for to happen. I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care if it's a broken leg. I expect it to happen because my faith is a fundamental duty to me as a Christian. If I don't have that faith, if I don't put that faith in action, then I am not a true Christian.
Yes.
I know I just stepped on some toes probably at the pastor. I'm sorry, but it happens. No, not really. A defensive weapon. Your shield is a what? What did I say? You believe that? What? But should it still be an offensive weapon? Your shield is a defensive weapon. Let me tell you why. Because if you have that shield of faith up, when that devil starts to say, "Hey, you're not worthy. Hey, you have flaws in your life. Hey, I need you to commit suicide." That faith is your shield. You look at that devil straight in the face and say, "Devil, do you know who I am? Do you know I am a child of the Most High? I am a child of God. Do you not understand the Spirit and the authority that I have in the Holy Ghost? Do you not understand who I am? Who I stand for? Do you not understand who I am, devil? Devil, I tell you to leave me alone. I tell you to shut up. And you continue to sin your demons every day. But let me tell you, everyone you sin, devil, I'm going to send back to hell where they came from." I think I just went to another level, brother. See, when I have that authority as my defensive weapon, when I have that faith as my defensive weapon, I can believe without a shadow of doubt, whether it's cancer, it shall die. It shall go back to where it came from. Whether it's a suicidal demon, it has to leave. And let me tell you something. When I pray for you tonight, and I know the pastor has went through this and probably has never told you, but when I cast it out of you, when I cast it off of you, when I cast it out from around you in Jesus' name, it's going to attack me tonight. It's going to attack me tomorrow. But guess what? I am not mad at you. I count myself worthy. Hey, yes, because guess what? I know my prayer has moved heaven. I know my prayer has made hell and shook the grounds of hell, because I know that God is in it. I know that God did something, and you are better than you were today than you were yesterday.
Yes, amen. 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 Yes, Lord. Keep going, baby. Hallelujah.
Faith.
Yes.
You gotta have it.
Yes.
It is an indispensable in your religion with Jesus.
Yes.
If you don't have faith, you aren't even sitting in church.
Uh-huh. Right. Right. That's right.
Say that. If you don't have faith, where'd my water go? If you don't have faith, why are you even sitting in church? I could be doing a lot of things. I love to fish. Yeah. I see a lot of rivers on the way up here.
Yes, sir.
I told my wife, I said, I can move to Tennessee. There's a lot of rivers. And a lot of woods. It is indispensable in your religion as a Christian.
Yes, amen.
Without it, you can't do nothing.
Yes, amen.
I mean, if you think about it, when Jesus was on the boat and he said, "Ye of little faith," they had the authority to stop the storm themselves. Let me tell you what I do in a tornado, because we live in Alabama, Tornado Alley. I just go to bed. Do I not?
Yes.
My wife says, you going to watch the weather? Nope, I'm going to bed. She goes, why? I said, because Jesus was sleeping there in the storm, I'm going to go sleep during the storm. If that's what my master wanted to do, then that's what I'm going to do. Because I'm at peace, whether I live or die, I'm going to go to a better place.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I take precautions to protect my family, but I also know who my provider and my protector is.
Yes.
We're almost done.
Yes.
Faith is essential in prayer, which I talked about a few minutes ago. If I pray for something for you, I had to have faith this is going to happen.
That's right.
If I lay hands on this man, God, get this cancer off of him. And I never believe it really happens. I've not done nothing but hurt him.
That's right.
But if I really believe that the faith that I have is strong enough, even though his faith is weak, is strong enough, then I need to lay hands on him. What happens if he don't get healed? Do I stop? No, I go pray for another.
That's right.
Because our faith may not have connected. He may have doubt. But now if I have me and her, we both have faith. Watch how this works. We both strong in God. We both believe that God's going to command cancer to die if we lay hands on him. Because his faith is weak, our faith is joined together, and he still will get healed. Why do you say God said lay hands on them? And you'll notice when I pray for people, my daughter, my wife will be with me, laying hands on you with you, because I know our faith is connected. And if God leads me, my son does it too. We all are ministers. She's the minister of music. My wife is just the wife. She's a minister of everything. She is the boss. I'll get 30 points for that. It's my boss, Pastor. One more, and we're gonna wrap this up. Maybe two more. Faith should be united with love. If I'm faithful that God's going to give me everything, I'm faithful that he's going to make me rich, I'm faithful that he's going to make me prosper, I'm not doing the right thing. Because guess what? He's already promised that I shall prosper and I shall have a better health. That's already a promise of his. I don't have to worry about that. I work 4 days a week. 4 days a week. 4 days a week. I make, okay. But I only had to work 4 days a week. I prayed about that. That's a whole other testimony, but it went through changing jobs. I used to be a Walmart store manager. You know how many hours I worked? 70 to 80 hours a week. That's what I almost lost my life. She thought I was cheating on her because I was always at Walmart. Literally, always at Walmart. Even to 2 a.m. in the morning.
Even off work.
Even off work. I got called in every time. Never had time to watch them grow up. But God, I prayed about it. I fasted about it. I had faith about it. I joined my faith with my actions, and I started looking for jobs. See, if we don't join our faith with our actions, we haven't done nothing but be counterproductive. This scripture, I'm going to give you a few scriptures. The defensive love scripture was, John, y'all write these down, Ephesians 6:6. Above all things, taking the shield of faith, wherefore ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Indispensable element in religion. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to the God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yes, amen.
The essential of prayer scriptures are James 1:5, which is, that's one of my favorite books. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. They give it to all men. Liberty brandeth not, it shall be given. James 1:6. But let him ask in faith, nothing waving, for that weather is like a wave of the sea that is driven with the wind and tossed. The last scripture should be united with love. Faith, your faith should be united with love. And this commandment, John 3:23, says, and this commandment that we should believe on the name of Jesus Christ and to love one another as he gave him commandment. What should my faith? Everything I do should be justified by faith. Habakkuk 2:4 says, believe his soul which is lifted up and not upright in him, but just shall live by faith. Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our love Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop there for a second and give you a few more things and we're done. So look, faith is very essential. If I have faith, then I get peace. Is that what I just said? How many of you have turmoil in your life right now that you want peace about? Look, there's some people raising their hands. It's not even an altar call yet. Have faith and really give it to God. How many things do you have in your life that you want to change, but you whine and you cry and you bicker about it, but you never say, God, I turn this totally over to you. Say, I'm going to give you two examples, and then we're going to go to the altar call. First example, this altar. Hey, I'm not going to run this in now. So this is all your baggage, right? I'm here worshiping. Oh God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But I never take it. And I take it right back out with it. What if I did this? See, and that's why I had a lot of y'all come here and worship. They left that baggage here. I go, God, I'm so depressed. I'm so upset. I need you so more today than I ever did, God. I tried to worship, but I just couldn't thank you because I'm just so distraught. I need your help. Will you please take this burden? Please take it from me. And some of us do this.
Come on.
My take God. It right back out with us. Let me tell you what you need to do. Jesus, I give you this. It's yours. I don't want it no more because I know you're going to take care of it. Lord God, I thank you for taking it from me. I don't care if I have symptoms of it later. I know that you're the one true God. I know that you're my deliverer, Father. See, when we start getting the mindset of really believing who our God really is and that we are children of His,
yes,
Pastor Ken, sometimes we act like we don't know who we are. Sometimes we act like we don't understand the authority and the Holy Ghost that we have. But see, when we start understanding who we are, that one little atheist would have never took prayer out of school in Alabama. That one little person that's doing the wrong thing would have never changed the whole system of the school.
Yes. Amen. Thank you.
That, and you leave it there.
Yes.
Will the devil remind you about it? Oh, yeah. Let me tell you what. You have the power and the authority to tell that devil to shut his mouth.
Yes, amen.
That demon that whispers in your ear. There's a song by, I don't know how many of y'all know this, bam, y'all may not, but Sidewall Prophets, it says that one little silly little lie lingered in my mind. And what it was Jesus did not love me. When the devil gets in your head and he lets one little thing stick because you put your faith down. I like to say you have a nick in your armor and the devil got a dart stuck up in there just to barely get into you. But you never remove it. You let it stay there. Then it goes through your system and your veins. Then you start to get to the point where, I don't want to go to church no more. I don't even know where I'm going. I don't get nothing out of it. You only get what you put in it.
Yes, amen.
If you're not putting actions in your faith, if you're not coming to the altar when you really need something, if you're not calling your pastor, bugging him at 2 a.m. in the morning when you're hurting and you're broken, maybe you can't go to God yourself. Maybe you haven't learned. That's what He's there for.
Yes, amen.
That's what your elders in your church are there for. I promise you, I don't know why I feel like you, but you're a prayer warrior, sister. If I needed something, I would call you at 2 a.m. in the morning. I bet you would answer your phone. She would pray for you till her heart's out. I can even tell you, if you don't have a prayer closet, you need to build one to start putting these people's names on your prayer closet and start praying for them. God just gave me that for you. You have power in your prayer. You can move stuff. Quit thinking that you don't have power no more. You're still vital. Even though you're older, you're still vital in this call, in this ministry today.
Amen.
Amen.
You know I'm speaking the truth.
Amen.
That's why you're smiling at me. See, when the Holy Ghost gets out of me, I have some bravery and some authority. I see, I didn't hardly talk to nobody here, and I didn't mean to be rude, but I did that because I didn't want you to say really nothing to me to affect the word. Now, I'll be super friendly when we get done.
Amen.
I'm going to eat somewhere, so if you want to follow me, we can go eat a fellowship together. Because I'm hungry. But when you understand the power and the authority, and you change your mindset that the devil is not going to fight you no more, and that he is not going to get to you no more, things will start to change.
Amen.
How many of you are married in here? Okay, I want to give you this. I'm going to give you one of the principles out of the book. Y'all, you want that? Y'all promise not to tell nobody else, but y'all will. That's okay. Just don't tell them where it came from. I need you to pray for each other before you go to bed. I need you to pray for each other before you go to bed. Whether you pray together or you pray separately and quiet. Although I pray sometimes when I go to bed before her because I have to get up at 4 a.m. in the morning. But I'll feel her when she comes in, she'll lay her hand on me. And she'll pray for me at night. Before, when I go to bed, she'll hear me in there talking to myself like I'm crazy, but I'm really praying for her. So she'll be like, who are you talking to? I said, I'm talking to Jesus about you.
Come on, say that.
So make sure you pray for yourself.
Yes, sir.
And compromise. How are you? Let me spill this. I don't want to spill this. Compromise is very important in a marriage.
Yes, amen.
I know a lot of us, the Christmas tree is not part of Christmas. We understand that. But I think it's beautiful. I don't worship it. I will not sing that old Christmas tree song ever in my life. But we had a compromise about the Christmas tree because I wanted a color light, she wanted white lights. We bought one and did both.
Amen.
So when you're married, you got to compromise. You got to make sure here. I'm giving you one more out of the seven. That's three. I'm giving you three free ones. So I need you all to buy the book when it releases. Here's the other one. Do not go to bed mad at each other.
Amen.
Work it out. I don't care if it takes a 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yes, sir.
Forgive, forget, and move on.
Amen.
Forgive, forget, and move on. Yeah. Forgive, forget. They ain't married yet, but they're going to get married eventually.
Oh, God.
Unless one of them goes crazy. Everybody will stand for me, guys. I know I've been a little bit long-winded, but I think I deserve that after driving 3.5 hours. Don't y'all agree? Stop acting. Kim, will you turn that video off? It's on YouTube. Okay. Y'all's on YouTube today? I have a YouTube channel. I'll make sure.